What's going on, everybody? This is the I Am Pitts podcast, and this is your host, Dexter Pitts, otherwise known as DP. Ladies and gentlemen, please excuse my absence. It has been an absolutely long, long week. And that little jingle you're hearing, that's me sipping on a little bit of Larceny bourbon, since we are in the state of Kentucky, the home of bourbon. Take a little sip so I can chill out a little bit. Been a long week, man. And so before I go ahead, you know about that disclaimer. The opinions and views you're about to hear in this podcast are the opinions and views of mine and mine alone. They are not a reflection of my employer or any other organization that I am a part of. All right, so let's get into it. But first, let us have a moment of silence for fallen LMPD officer Hassan Hassan. So, I'm sure a lot of people heard LMPD lost an officer last week. It was Officer Hassan Hassan. He's 25 years old. Just graduated the police academy last month in March. Officer Hassan was in the field training portion of his training here with LMPD. He'd only been on the streets a few weeks. And he went home after a shift, apparently, on the morning of April 2nd. 2021. Closed his eyes, went to sleep, and unfortunately suffered some sort of medical emergency, and he passed away. 25 years old, man. Had his whole life and career ahead of him, but apparently God had other plans. And, you know, it's these things that make me question sometimes, God, why? Why you have somebody here wanting to do this job, wanting to take all the risk, wanting to help others, and you take them from us. And we'll never understand why or the mind of God. All we can do at sometimes is just trust God and trust the process. All I know is that he's in a better place right now. And I'm thankful for the few months he did have with us in uniform. You know, I never got to meet Officer Hassan, but I have a connection to him, even though I didn't get to meet him. Officer Hassan was born in Dakar, Iraq. His family immigrated here to America some years ago. You know, and I was in Iraq in 2004. When I was in Iraq, I was 20 years old. And at that time, I believe Officer Hassan would have been 9 years old. And I imagine myself on patrol, 20 years old in Iraq. And I remember the little kids that used to follow us around, wanting to play with us and talk with us, trying to give us stuff, trying to sell us stuff. You know, I picture Officer Hassan as that 9-year-old Iraqi kid that I was over in Iraq trying to help fight for and save from the brutal dictatorship of Saddam Hussein and the insurgents. And I just... You know, looking at those kids, thinking about the memories now, thinking about those kids at that time, who would have ever thought that this 9-year-old kid from Iraq would become a Louisville Metro police officer? If you would have told me that at the age of 20, I'd probably have been like, yeah, sure, okay. But that just proves how great this country is. See, I didn't get to meet Officer Hassan. But everybody I know that knew him, the people that trained him in the academy, said that he restored their faith in this job, that his rigor, that his vigor, and that his drive to be a police officer was so strong that it reignited a flame in them. And the truth is, especially in today's world, we need more officers like Hassan Hassan. We need more officers who have that passion and that desire to help the community, to put the community before themselves. And we do it most of the time. However, in light of the way the things have been going the last few years in this country with police and law enforcement in the community, it's easy to lose sight of why we signed up to do this job. See, Officer Hassan's sight was fresh He knew why he was here. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he was getting into, and yet he still signed up to do it. And I respect that so much. And the other thing that I've come to know and realize, no one loves America. No one loves freedom more than those who are not born here. No one loves it and appreciates it more than those born under an oppressive dictatorship like the Saddam Hussein regime. From what I heard and what I saw, Officer Hassan loved America and he appreciated this country. He loved his freedom and he loved everything about it. See, we as Americans, we're born here. I tell people all the time, I don't really believe in white privilege, but I do believe in American privilege. And for a lot of people across this world, America is still the place of dreams. America is still the place of the impossible. America is still doing what other countries have yet to do or accomplish. There's a reason why people want to be here. There's a reason why people like Officer Hassan decided to become a police officer and serve the people, to give back to the country that has given him so much. We Americans take it for granted, man. We really do. Because most of my friends that I have that are not from here, everybody knows Dexter Pitts is a patriot. Dexter Pitts loves America. But I tell you what, my love for this country, man, it does not compare to the love and the appreciation that my friends from overseas that are now American citizens have for our beloved country, because they grew up without it. See, when you grow up in freedom and you grow up in American privilege, you don't appreciate it. You take it for granted because this has always been here. But when you live under an evil dictatorship, you don't get to decide your future. You don't get to decide what your life will be. That's decided for you. But when they make it here, they realize that we are truly the land of the free and the home of the brave. So one last time, Officer Hassan Hassan, my brother, may you rest in peace. May you rest in the arms of Allah. Thank you for your service. You know, LMPD has had such a rough go, man. I believe back in January, we lost another officer. It wasn't just an officer to me, though. We lost my buddy, Officer Martez Hughes. He died of a medical emergency while playing tennis, and his autopsy revealed that he had COVID. And so he unfortunately died due to complications from COVID. And just like Officer Hassan, Officer Martez was a man of the people. Martez was one of the best men I knew. He and I went to the academy together. He and I were the only two black graduates in our class. You know, I remember he and I would go to lunch sometimes with our buddy Rich. Me and Martez would often joke and look at each other and say, "You know what, brother? We the only one two here. They can't afford to get rid of us." You know, I think about those things now that he's gone. I remember the last time I saw him during the SRT detail. He was telling us of all the plans for the future. Him and his wife, Sherry, moving to Florida, buying a condo, transferring to a police department down there and just starting to live life. You know, we make all these plans to live our lives. And then God's plan steps in and cuts it short. And God calls us home sometimes before we think we're ready. But, you know, there's never a bad time to be called home to God. I say LMPD has had a rough go the last few months, but the show goes on. The people still need to be served. Justice still needs to be had. Someone has to hold the line. And us here at LMPD, we hold that line with tears in our eyes, with our hearts heavy and our hearts full, ready to go out and serve the people, even though some of those people want us gone and defunded. It's okay, because our love for what we do, it's still there. It might be buried, it might be hidden, but it's still there. And I'm still glad to be here next to my brothers and sisters whenever I get to put the uniform on. It does get daunting. It gets tiring. Constantly being yelled at, cursed at, called a sellout and Uncle Tom, told how evil of a person I am because of my chosen profession. But I don't do this for the accolades. I do this because I love doing this and I love the people, just like Officer Hassan and Officer Martez Hughes. May y'all both rest in peace. All right, now that that's over, let me take a drink, man. Whew, it's getting deep. The larceny gets you right, man. All right, moving on. So I know hopefully a lot of y'all tuned in to the Coddling of Black America podcast I did about two episodes ago. I'm sure you all remember where I was talking about the incident in Washington, D.C. with the two young black girls aged 13 and 15 and how they killed a 66-year-old Pakistani immigrant driving Uber Eats. And what did I say? I do believe I said, we'll see what happens with these girls. And lo and behold, they are being offered plea deals. I believe the 15-year-old will be released when she's 21, and so will the 13-year-old. They're not really going to do any jail time. And I do believe the police chief of Washington, D.C. said that it was pointless to charge these young girls and that it wouldn't bring this individual back and it wouldn't change anything. Well, that is true. That is extremely, extremely insensitive on the part of the Washington, D.C. police chief. I believe he's the stand-in chief at the moment. But still, do we ever stop in this country to consider the victims of crimes? When it's like we're doing everything we can to coddle criminals. And I say, yes, these young girls, they're young, 13 and 15. But let's be honest. At the age of 13 and 15, you know right from wrong. At the age of 13, you know what murder is. At the age of 13 and 15, there is no excuse for what these young girls did. So they're pretty much going to get away with it and get to go and live the rest of their lives without consequence, honestly. And that drives me crazy. This is exactly what I was talking about. How are these girls going to learn from this? I'm not saying that they can't learn or that they won't learn, but there's literally no negative consequence for this. They're going to get to go live the rest of their lives. I hope and pray that they make peace with God and that they make peace with this guy's family somehow and that they become better from this. But I have seen the way the system works. And most of the time, these kids in the system have no remorse and do not care. When they get locked up into the system and then thrown back out into the streets, they just come out with more street cred and continue to reoffend over and over and over. And people say they're just kids, 13 and 15. I have met and chased after 13 and 15-year-old killers out here in the streets. So let's not just cut the bull with they're just kids. No, kids kill people. These two, they killed this man. And it pisses me off that nothing's going to happen to him. I don't understand. We were all at one time young kids. Even when I was 13, I did dumb stuff, of course. But none of the dumb things I did allotted to anyone losing their lives, especially in a carjacking. I had enough sense to know that if I do this, I'm going to jail for a long time. There is no excuse, especially in the year 2021 with the amount of technology we have. Everybody knows that there's consequences to bad actions. Well, there used to be consequences, but now we see America we live in, it's a free-for-all. Yeah. And I see it out here every day on the streets. We lock up the same people, the same kids over and over, and they keep reoffending because there is no consequences for their actions. And what this does, like I said, this emboldens people. That's all it does. And it's always the poor child. We never think about the victim or the victim's families in this country anymore. And it drives me crazy. It's like we rush to make martyrs. We rush to make great people out of criminals. And like I said, yes, I am a Christian. And I do believe that people can change. If God can change Saul in the Bible and turn him into Paul, God's changed me and made me a better person. And I believe that it can happen with people. It can happen with anybody. But I've seen it not happen with a lot of people, and a lot of people continue to reoffend. And I'm just tired of it, man. I'm tired of it. Because what if that was the DC police chief's friend or family member? What if that was your family member? You know, the Bible says to forgive, but that's one of the hardest part of being a Christian, is learning to forgive people that have hurt you and offended you, or learning to forgive somebody that took the life of your loved one. That's what we're supposed to do. But that's easier said than done. That takes time. That takes sometimes years. It's not an instant thing. For some people it might be. For a lot of us, it's not. But think about it. What if that was your father? Your brother? How would you feel if you heard the police chief say, it's pointless to punish these girls? You know, I believe in compassion. I believe in second chances. But if somebody comes out here and hurts my kids or does something and kills somebody I love, it's going to take me a while to have some compassion. I might get there eventually with the help of God, but it is not going to be instant. And I just don't, I can't understand it, man. I just hate where this country's going. Like I said, we continue to coddle black people in this country, especially young black people, and it's doing nothing for the black community. It only continues to hurt us. And guess what? The people that are victims of black crimes usually is other black people. We claim Black Lives Matter. We claim we love black people, but we're not doing anything to help our black victims. But we use the system as a scapegoat. Imagine if those two young girls had been white. I believe it would have been a complete different story. The media would have been all over it, and the media would have been calling it a racist event. However, because they have dark skin in this country, and we are at a place where we are coddling the black community, the media made nothing of it. You know, and this just goes into further into this divide that's happening between the black community and the police department. Now, I'm sure we have all by now seen the video of the U.S. Army lieutenant that was stopped by the two white cops in, I believe, Windsor, Virginia. Now, initially, when I saw the video, I was mad. I was mad at the cops because I just saw a man in a uniform. I didn't care that he was black. I just saw a man in a uniform that I used to wear being pepper sprayed and pulled out of a vehicle, because that's all the media showed. The media did not give you any context of what had happened during, before, during, or after really all that. All the media showed was two white officers pepper spraying and pulling a black man in a American military uniform out of a car. The media left out a lot of detail. So I went back and watched the video myself. And like I said, yes, am I biased? Of course. However, I'm also a Purple Heart veteran, and I've worn that uniform. So I can go down the middle on this one. I can call both sides out comfortably and feel okay about it. So initially, this individual was stopped by the police. Well, they tried to stop him because he was driving a vehicle with no tags and his tint was super dark. This individual continued to drive down the road for a mile, without stopping for police, and pulled into a well-lit gas station. Okay, so let me say, I completely understand that. If you're scared, I don't believe you should be scared of the police. However, the media is teaching black people that the police are here to kill you and nothing else. And so this individual felt that he was not safe and pulled into a well-lit gas station. I'm okay with that. Here's what else he could have done. Hey, call 911. Hey, I believe I'm being stopped by the police. This is my location. I'm going to keep driving until I find a well-lit location where I feel safe. That would have been that easy. But, you know, he's under stress. He's not thinking. So the cops get out of the car and they perform a felony stop. A lot of people are like, that's unnecessary. Let me ask you something for those of you who are not in law enforcement. If you're driving down the road, you see a car with no tags, you don't know who's in that car, and because there's no tags on it, that car might be stolen. And guess who usually drives stolen cars? Criminals. And guess what criminals like to have? Guns. Guess what else criminals like to have? Criminal records. Possibly a warrant to go back to jail for a long time. Officers do not know who or what is in that car. So I'm okay with them performing a felony stop. That was perfectly logical. Perfectly logical. So we continue forward. And they start calling out commands to this black army officer. And the army officer is not complying at all. He's not listening to him. He's not doing anything he's told. He's in the vehicle and he's got his window down, but he's got his hands in the air. They're telling him to get out of the vehicle, but he refuses to get out of the vehicle because he says he's scared. Regardless of if you're scared, if there is an officer pointing a gun at you, do as you are told. The side of the road or in a parking lot is not the time to get into a shouting match or to get into a power struggle over a police officer who doesn't know who you are, who doesn't know what you have in the vehicle, and doesn't know what you're up to. Now is not the time and place. And so they tell the officer to get out the car. He refuses commands multiple times. He doesn't get out. So that they escalate force. And I'll go ahead and address some of the things they said to him weren't the best things in the heat of the moment. They could have tampered that. They definitely could have tampered that. They pepper spray him, and then he gets out the car. Well, he's out of the car. He's crying. No, I'm in uniform. I'm serving my country, blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, I respect that, and I understand that. Yo, but why are you still resisting? All you have to do is comply, sir. Comply, and you would have been okay. So it takes them forever to get him in the handcuffs. And then once they do, they start talking to him. He's calmed down a little bit. He's crying. The other guy's talking to him. Yo. And this is where they messed up. They ended up just letting him go. They didn't charge him. My belief is if you're going to go through all that and pepper spray somebody, you better go ahead and just go through with the charges. At that point, it was no point in letting him go. He had already committed enough felonies or a felony at that. Well, I don't know what the traffic laws are in West Virginia, if it's what it is to flee from the police or failure to yield per se. But they had enough on that to lock him up, I believe, if that's according to their state law. But they let him go because they felt bad. And then I believe one of the officers just ended up getting fired. So, you know, I was okay with what the officers did for the most part. But like I said, some of the things they were saying to him, no, I probably wouldn't have said those things. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, I don't like the Monday morning quarterback cops when I'm watching a video of their interaction with somebody. Because they have the stress going on. They got all the radios squawking. They're trying to think about what to do next. And me, I'm sitting behind the comfort of my phone. No stress. Oh, this is what I would do in this situation. This is what I would do in that situation. That's easy to say when you're not in the moment. So I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback these guys too bad. I guess they feel like they did what they had to do. I'd say I was okay with it for the most part. But now here's the other question we need to get to. Was this Black Army officer, is his fear legit? What do you mean, Dexter, is his fear legit? Is this Black officer's fear that the police are going to kill him a legit fear? Personally, I will tell you, no, it is not a legit fear because I know the numbers. I know the stats. I deal with this every day. Your chances of being shot and killed by a police officer are very slim. And if you cooperate and do as told with a police officer on a traffic stop, you will 100% of the time walk away without being put in handcuffs. And if you are put in handcuffs, they'll go on easy. They'll come off easy. You walk away with a ticket, man. But that's only if you comply. But this guy did not want to comply. I had a friend of mine who used to say, well, it's comply or die, right, Pitts? I was like, it shouldn't be like that, but that's usually what happens because when you don't comply, you ratchet up the tension more and more and more. And there's already one person involved in this incident with a gun. So why not comply? Why try to fight at that moment? That's what the court system is for, but we aren't educated. And now back to the whole, is this army officer's fear of the police legit? See, this is my beef with the media. The media literally has black people in absolute fear of police officers. Irrational fear of police. Because they show an incident of a cop killing somebody on a video without context. And black people across the country believe that police officers are out here in the street to pulling black people over and killing them for sport. That is why black people fear the police right now in traffic stops and are absolutely terrified. Because they believe that is the truth. They believe that is reality. And that is not the truth and that is not reality. But in their mind, that is true. And that's their, it's rational to them. And so they're acting this way on traffic stops. And know what that's doing? That's making things worse for him. And that's making things worse for the officer. The media is making this thing 100 times worse, putting out a false narrative. This officer, an Army officer trained for combat, really believes that because he's Black and being stopped by the police, that he's terrified for his life. How do I know? I had an incident at my apartment complex a few months ago. I just dropped my daughter off, and I told her to go inside, and this Black guy that lives down the way from me flags me down. He's like, "Hey, officer, I need your help real quick, man. I need your help. Hey, what's going on, man? How can I help you?" I ask him, "Man, my son's tripping out. He's having a mental issue thing going on right now, and I'm afraid these white officers are going to come here right now, and they're going to kill him. They're going to pull my, they're going to pull their guns, and they're going to shoot and kill my Black son." And I'm just like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, buddy, hold. What's going on? Like, man, we went from, hey, my son's having a mental emergency. I don't feel safe around him, but I'm calling the police because I don't feel safe, but I'm afraid that the police are going to kill my son because he's Black and he's acting out." That was this man's first logical thought. He believes this in his heart. He believes this. He believes that this is reality. And so I go into the apartment and I talk with his son, and two white officers show up, two officers that I know that are good officers, great officers. Yeah. But he's terrified of these white officers, that they're going to kill his son. Where does that come from? Where is this thinking being implanted in the Black community? That's not true. Look no further than the media. Because all this is doing is creating a mutual fear and a mutual misunderstanding that is going to lead to more officers getting hurt and killed and more young Black people getting hurt and killed. Because the media is stoking the flames of everything that's been going on between the Black community and the police. And like I say, I understand that there's always been this animosity, but we have to go beyond the emotion of this and think intelligently and look at the numbers and make Black people realize that your chances of being killed by a cop are low. But if you are a young Black man in this country between the ages of 18 and 35, your chances of being killed by another Black person are way higher. Walking the street of your neighborhood as a Black man, you should be on a more of alert and more worried about somebody else from your community hurting and killing you than you should be of a cop on patrol stopping you and killing you. Now, has that stuff happened? Yes, but it's rare. It's so rare. Police have millions of contacts with citizens across the country, millions of contacts with Black citizens. And most of these contacts go without any issue. But the media comes in and takes one or two or a few of these incidents and blows it up into this major thing. And that is why you hear young Black guys out here yelling at me on the street. "Y'all killing us, bruh. Y'all killing us, man." We are not killing you, but you are killing each other. I see it every day. I am Black. My son is Black. My daughter's Black. My wife is Black. My family's Black. If there was really an epidemic of police officers unjustly killing Black people for sport, I would be concerned. I would be marching and walking with you all day in and out. But that is not the case. See, I'm not concerned for my Black son in this country. I'm not concerned for when my son starts driving that he's going to be shot and killed by a white, racist white cop. Because I know how to educate my son on how to interact with the police. And see, people think that there are special rules between white people and Black people. Black people have to act a certain way around police, and white people can do whatever they want. Let me tell you something from somebody who has been doing this for 10 years. That is absolutely not true. We are, as police, are trained to look at the individual's actions and not their color. So don't matter what color you are, if a cop stops you, and you keep your hands in your pocket and you keep moving around and you are not listening, Black or white, you will eventually get shot. Because cops do not want to gamble with their lives on these issues. We cannot afford to be wrong. As a matter of fact, the New Mexico State Police just released a video of their officer that was killed and shot a few months ago on a traffic stop in New Mexico. The officer walks up to the vehicle. He's nice to the guy. He asked the guy, hey, can you get out of the vehicle? Come back to my vehicle with me real quick so I can run your information, man. The cop wasn't aggressive or anything. And you know what this guy does? This guy gets out the car, pulls out a rifle, almost point blank, and shoots this officer dead with an AR-15. Shoots him dead with an AR-15. And this officer did not deserve that. So people want us to continue to gamble with our lives and gamble with our livelihoods, man. No, we can't afford to do that. But you as an individual, a citizen of this country, you cannot afford to sit and argue with an officer on the side of the road. You cannot get into a power struggle with an officer on a traffic stop. You are going to lose that battle every time. And all you're going to have after that, You're going to get killed and put on a t-shirt. Your family might get some money, but you will be gone. We have to educate people in this country on how to interact with police. Listen, I understand that there are some cops out here that are not good cops, that there are some cops on a power trip. However, let that cop have his power trip in that moment, because if that cop violates your constitutional rights, you take his ass to jail, you take him to court and you sue his ass and the department's ass off. That's what the system is for. But at the same time, black people, we don't believe in the criminal justice system. And you know what? I absolutely understand and see why that is. I see why that is, because I see injustice in the black community every day. Criminals go free every day and reoffend and kill other black people. I've seen it time after time in 10 years. So something in this country is broke, and I don't think it's a racial thing. The media is making out to be a racial thing, but it ain't got nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with money and the media dividing us between black and white. But I tell people every day, get off social media, get off your phone, go out and just talk to people. You will see that most people do not care about what color you are. Most people in this country are just good, honest, hardworking, decent people. Just want to be left alone. However, the media takes these small incidents and blows them up into something big and makes it painted as a narrative that happens to every black person in this country. And I also tell people, like, look, I did not grow up in a black, all-black community. I grew up in the military. Diversity has been all I have ever known. Diversity has been the norm for me. I did not grow up in the West End of Louisville, a young black man without a father. So I can sit here and say all day that all this stuff is true about how the police are treating black people in the West End or in a certain community. They don't treat them right. I say that wasn't not my experience growing up. But just because it didn't happen to me does not mean that it has not happened to young black men in the West End, where they might have been unnecessarily roughed up by a crooked cop or something. That is very real and very true. But like I said, we're not just fighting against that. We're fighting against 400 or 500 years worth of mistreatment towards the black community by this country. And we cannot deny that. As conservatives, we cannot deny that. The civil rights movement was not that long ago, people. It was not that long ago. Like I said, my parents grew up picking cotton. My parents were born in 1960, Mississippi, man. But like I said, we've come so far, but we're not letting go of the past. We're not letting go of the things that have divided us. And it's like we're going backwards. We're dividing more and more now amongst color than any other time, and it breaks my heart, because I love all people in this country. I don't care what your color is, but your character is everything to me. And that's how I'm raising my kids. So the whole last year, I've been back in Louisville since June. I've been on the front line with the riots, with Black Lives Matter, and I've not had the chance to have a conversation with anybody one-on-one up close. So I've been working a lot of downtown overtime in downtown Louisville at the park at 6th and Jefferson. And I noticed something one day. I noticed this shorter statue, heavy set black guy. I see him out there all the time. And he's got a red, black, and green American flag. And he's got it attached to this sort of spear thing. And he's always out there every day. Rain, sleet, or snow. He's standing with that flag hoisted in the air, proud. He walks back and forth up and down the sidewalk. And I just thought to myself, yo, who is this dude, man? Why is he always out here? And I took it upon myself to approach this individual. And as soon as I walked up to him, the alarm went off in his head. Like, oh my God, it's the police. Next thing I know, I saw that phone in my face and he was recording. He was like, yo, what's up? I said, hey man, can I talk to you? And his first response was, are you genuine? I was like, yeah, I'm genuine, man. And he kept recording. I told him, I was like, look, dude, I've been out here for almost a year. I never get to just get to talk to anybody with an opposing view. I never get the chance to talk to anybody that doesn't think like me, that's not like me, that's with BLM on the other side of this issue. All I have ever done is been yelled at and told how bad of a person I am and I'm a sellout. I never had to have a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with y'all. Man, this man put his phone down when he realized that I just wanted to talk. Me and this individual sat at that park and chatted for 3 hours almost. No yelling, no arguing, no fighting. And I told him, I'm not trying to change your mind about the police. I'm not trying to win you over. I just want to understand your passion and why you're out here every day. When the whole protest riot movement was stopped, this guy was still out there, coming out there and hoisting up that flag. I asked him, "Why? What are you doing out here walking up and down the sidewalk?" He told me he's a Christian and he's praying as he walks. He's praying over the park, praying over the city. And right then and there, that was an instant connection. And it, man, he and I talked about so much. And now I'll say, there's a lot we did not agree on, but there was just as much we did agree on. And that seems to be getting lost in translation between the far left and the far right. Man, me and this man sat and chatted for so long, and I understood some of his complaints and why he felt the way he did and why he believed the way he did. Now, I don't think he necessarily understood why I was the way I was. He did tell me at one point in time that I was a bit whitish because of my views. But I told him, hey, man, I didn't grow up here in the West End like you. So I might not know your struggle that you know it, but I've had my own struggles being black, being dark skinned. It was such an eye-opening conversation. And dare I say, I actually think I might have actually made a friend out of this thing. Because I see this guy and I walk and pull up to him now. And we say, what's up? And we shake hands and hug. I say, I'll probably never be invited to his dinner table. But man, I feel like I got somewhere with this whole black community versus the police thing that a lot of us haven't got to. Like I say, this conversation needs to be had. However, we can't have this conversation between normal people because we are only listening to the fringes on the left and the right yelling and screaming at each other. And here we are, me and this guy, around the same age, wanting to really a lot of the same things. But we don't get to talk and hear each other because of the noise from everybody else that don't know how to be reasonable, that don't know how to listen, that don't understand. Like I said, you don't have to agree, but you can understand. I understood a lot of what he was saying. I might not agree with a lot of it. I might not believe a lot of it, but I understand why he might think that way and believe it. I don't know where this whole thing is going to end in the next couple weeks with the George Floyd trial and everything with Breonna Taylor and this other shooting that just happened in Minnesota as well. I don't know where anything is going to end up in this country. But I have a hope and a belief that somehow, some way, the reasonable people, the silent majority, regardless of your color, regardless of how you feel, that we can all eventually come together and get rid of the fringes and have an actual conversation that needs to be had, where we can gain an understanding of each other. That's all I want. That's all most of us want. Like I said, we don't have these people as leaders that are reasonable. We have extremists that are leading the charge on each side sometimes. And y'all know me, I'm not down with any extremist, either conservative, liberal, Democrat, or Republican. I say my loyalty does not lie to the skin, to the color of the skin. My loyalty lies with the American people. My loyalty lies with people like Officer Hassan Hussein, who came here, an immigrant, and became a police officer. My loyalty lies with Officer Martez Hughes, who died in service to this community. My loyalty lies to the guy at the park who's coming out and protesting and doing it the right way, peaceful, not bothering anybody, but handling business the way he sees fit. My loyalty lies with the young black men who are getting killed in this community, within the black neighborhood, and their families that need and deserve justice. My loyalty also lies with the white police officers across America that are working within those black communities to try to hold the line and to try to bring peace and stability to communities that are not used to having peace and stability. My loyalty lies with anybody within the confines of this country who want and believe in the pursuit of happiness. And lastly, my loyalty lies with you, the listeners of the Iron Pits podcast. I don't care where you come from, what you believe, how you identify. None of that matters to me. But what matters to me is that you know that there is at least one police officer out here who loves the community, who believes in the Constitution, who believes in everything that this country was founded upon, and believes that this country is the greatest country on earth. To the Iron Pits podcast listeners, my loyalty lies with you. I love you all. I believe in you all. And I hope that you all love and believe in me. And even if you don't love and believe in me, guess what? If you call, pick up the phone to call 911, I'm still coming and I'm still going to be there to help, even if you don't want me. Because that is what I have sworn an oath to do. I put my feelings aside and my personal beliefs aside when I put on this uniform, because it is my service to the community and my oath to the Constitution that keeps me going, not my personal beliefs. Because as I said, the Constitution does not care about my personal feelings. And because of that, I continue to serve, because your life matters to me. I don't care what color you put in front of your life, black, white, Hispanic, I don't care. Your life matters to me. Your freedom matters to me. Your happiness matters to me, but I can't get those things for you. I can try to safeguard them while I'm in uniform, but at the end of the day, it is up to you, the individual, to make things better for yourself, to make things better for your community, to make things better for your family. Because trust me, the government ain't gonna do it. I'm only in the neighborhood for 12 hours a day. But remember, that's your neighborhood. That's your friends, your family. And you have to be the first line of defense. And if it's not enough for you being the first line of defense, call me for backup. I'll be there. I give you my word. All right, everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all take care. I'll see you on the next one.